Amen. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Jesus and his disciples on the Emmaus Road. And what were we talking about? We were talking about Jesus being revealed. Yeah? Seeing Jesus. See, each and every one of us need to see Jesus. Because when we see him, when we meet with him face to face, we give our lives to him. When we sense his presence, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You sense the presence Friday night. We had a great youth night Friday night, and there was a sense of presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of Jesus. And each and every one of us needs to experience, needs to see Jesus for themselves. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. So important. He's the center of our lives. He's the center of all things. All things, the Bible says, comes from God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, with me to John's Gospel. John's Gospel and chapter 20. The Gospel of John and chapter 20. Continuing with this theme, Jesus to be revealed, in us, to be revealed to us, and to be revealed to the world. And one thing for sure, Jesus is alive. Amen? I said Jesus is alive. You know, if you can't shout for that, then, you know, you need to get into your Bible and get into him face to face, because he's alive. He's risen. He's ascended. And he's glorified. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. He's alive. He's risen. He's ascended. And he's glorified. Hallelujah. Sin did not stain his character. Sin did not stain him. Sin could not stick to him. Sin could not even penetrate him. He's alive and glorified. Amen. Praise his one. I can get so excited if I'm not careful, you know. Glory to God. I'm still a teenager at heart. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 19. If you found John's Gospel, chapter 20, go to verse 19. And when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were all shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Have you noticed what fear can do? It causes you to shut the doors, build a barricade, build walls around you so that you cannot come near me. That's not good. God is not a God of fear, but he is a God of love. Amen? He's a God of love. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. There's no need to be afraid. When you've got God on your side, you're the winner. Or there may be a battle to fight. That just sharpens you up. Just keeps you fit. Keeps you strong. Keeps you alert. to the things of God and to the things of the Spirit keeps you in the Word of God.
Yes.
Praise His name. And so the disciples were all sort of hiding away. Door shut. They were afraid that they might be next ones to be crucified. So they were hiding. What would you do if there was a threat that you might be next to be crucified? Probably be hiding away, maybe. Because you see, the disciples at this point in time had not been equipped with power. They were still the disciples. They were still... Peter was still Peter. And Peter was afraid of young girls. And they said to him, "You've been with Jesus, haven't you? You know him." "Me? No, no, no." He began to curse and swear and denied Jesus 3 times. We know that story. But here they gathered together. And they were shut inside the room for fear of the Jews, it says. And suddenly Jesus came and stood there in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine that? The door's locked. The windows and the shutters are locked. There's no way anybody can get in. And everybody sat around, maybe just chatting and just talking about what's happened, and suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus appears in the room. Whoa, whoa, what is it? What is it? You know, can you imagine? They're all back to the wall. You know, some are hiding behind somebody else. You know, let them get you first. And they're hiding. They're afraid. And yet they look and they say, "It looks like Jesus. It sounds like Jesus. But he's dead. We saw him crucified." Well, now he's turned up and said, "Now you can see me alive." Because death has no power to hold me. It's broken. The power of death is broken. It has no authority over the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you know, it has no power over you or I. Death, where is thy sting? Hallelujah. We're not afraid. We have a God that is bigger than anything. He's the God of all things. And so there the disciples were afraid, and suddenly Jesus turns up and says, "Peace." He's the God of peace. One of his names is the Prince of Peace. And so Jesus turns up to remind them, "Peace, not fear, peace." And he reminds them so much. And they stand there trembling. And he says he showed them his hands, his side. And the disciples, when they saw it was the Lord, finally they recognized him. Finally they believed who it really was. And they began to rejoice. They were happy. They were glad. I can guess that some of them still didn't understand it. How is it that he's been dead 3 days? We saw him brutally crucified. He's been dead 3 days. And yet now, days later, he's alive. I said, he's alive. I said, he's alive. Glory to God. Jesus
He's alive. Praise Him. You know, if He wasn't alive, you wouldn't be here today. We would be dead in our trespasses and sins. We would be condemned to hell, to a lost eternity. He's alive. That makes me alive. He's alive. It makes you alive. Hallelujah. And we can rejoice in that. And Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also am sending you." We are the sent people. Jesus is going to send us. Go out. One translation talks where it says, Jesus said to them, "Go out into all the world. Teach the gospel. Teach the good news." That's what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that there is forgiveness. The good news that there is a way out of hell. And it's Jesus. And so the good news, we're to go and tell the good news to those around in the name of Jesus. And he said, verse 22, and he says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He just went, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He's preparing them. He's preparing them for the future. He's preparing them for the next move of God. And I believe God is also preparing us for His next move. Are you ready? Are you ready to be prepared if you're not already prepared? Are you willing to be prepared for the next move? Are you willing to take hold of the ropes and begin to pull?
Yes.
Together, that we can pull in and we can draw in this next mighty move of God.
Amen.
We should be ready. And so Jesus is revealing Himself to the disciples. And we read here that Jesus says to them in verse 23, "And if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." That is a powerful verse, and I know a lot of the evangelicals flee away from it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to preach on that one another time. But Thomas, you remember we talked about Thomas? What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas, we call him. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared that day. And we call him Doubting Thomas. And yet, as I said to you last week, Thomas went to India and began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in India. So the message started in India some 2,000 years ago about Jesus Christ. And Thomas, who was called the Doubter, was the preacher that took the message to India. Hallelujah. You see, God has His men and His women out there taking the message of good news to people's lives. Because God is reaching out to everyone. Yeah, He's reaching out to everyone. He's drawing them in. He wants to have a friendship, a relationship with you and with I. And so it's so important. So Thomas wasn't there, so he missed it. Well, as we read on later, Jesus turns up again, and this time Thomas is there. Wow, I mean, you know, these disciples are being visited by the Lord Jesus. But I thought he was dead. No, he's risen. He's alive. I said, he's alive. He's alive. And every time they've got the locks on, suddenly Jesus turns up. It's like, "Where did you get in?" He passed through the wall. Wow. This is the new body. This is the new body. He could eat. He ate fish. One time. Yet he passes through a wall. You know? I mean, have you tried it? You know? Don't work, does it? You know? It's solid. But in that new spiritual body, suddenly, you're at the other side. Amazing. God has got some exciting things for you and I in the future. There's some great things going to happen. In fact, it says in this scripture, in John's Gospel, it says 8 days later, Jesus turns up again while Thomas is there just to show himself to Thomas. Because he already knew Thomas didn't believe. They'd all had the privilege of seeing Jesus. He'd not. Maybe he thought, well, they've all got together and said, let's say Jesus has turned up. And we'll all say it together and just tell, because Thomas is not here, so we'll kid him on, you see, and see what he thinks. He was maybe thinking like that. I don't know what he was thinking. But he wanted to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? I know Jesus said, you know, blessed are those that have never seen me. But I'll tell you what, in the power of the Spirit, we can see Jesus. We can see Jesus in each and every one of us as we press into the things of God. Jesus wants to reveal himself again and again and again. Jesus wants to reveal himself even now in the earth. Through his church, through each and every one of us, he wants us to be seen. But you know, Peter had a bad time. Although he'd seen Jesus a couple of times in this upper room, in this room where they'd been hiding away, he still felt guilty because he had denied Jesus 3 times. And so he's weighed down by guilt. And it brings a depression on him, basically. And he says, I've had enough. I'm going fishing. Are you coming? Let's go fishing. I'm going to go and chill on a boat. I'm going to go fishing. And he says that they went fishing and they fished all night. Anybody a fisherman? No, not me neither. Too slow for me. We were once on a boat with somebody and we had the fishing rods out. You know, well, we didn't get a bite and we left the rods out. We'd nowhere else to go, we're on a boat anyway, so we just left the rods out. We sat down to eat. And of all of a sudden we heard this clatter, clatter, bang, bang, bang. You know, the rod is rattling around the deck side on this boat. So we go racing and grab the rod. And finally we pull in one fish. Wow. And I thought, this is fishing. I am not a fisherman. That's for sure. I know the Lord said, be ye fishers of men. But that's a different kind of fishing. You know, but I'm not one of these that, you know, doing that. Forget it. It's not my style. But Peter had gone out fishing. The amazing thing is that Grace and I have been to the Sea of Galilee. And we sat at a restaurant and we were having a meal one evening. And if you took a piece of bread and you just threw it into the Sea of Galilee, it suddenly became alive with fish. I thought, wow, just... there's hundreds, if not thousands, of fish, and there were big ones. And there people were throwing the fish in. The water was alive with fish. And I thought to myself,
the miracle, the great miracle in this story, when Peter doesn't catch any fish, the miracle is that he didn't catch any fish. Wow. How come you didn't catch any fish? It's easy. All you need is a bit of bread and they'll come to you. It was full of fish, the place. And the thing is that as it became daylight, they were coming back into the shore. And they see this man on the shore. And he shouts to them, he says, "Do you have any fish?" "No. No. Been fishing all night. No fish." So the man shouts back and says, "Cast your net on the other side." You don't fish in daylight on the Sea of Galilee. It's a waste of time. But they threw the net over. And suddenly it began to riddle and it began to get heavy and they began to pull it in. And they caught fish. This was amazing. But suddenly the net was so heavy. The catch was so great. And they were pulling in the net, trying to draw in all the fish that was there. And it says that as they pulled in, it says, Peter, one of the disciples said to Peter, "That's Jesus." So Peter dove into the water and began to head for the shore. And he reached the shore. And he says in the Word of God, he says, there was a fire lit. And on the fire there was fish. And Jesus said to him, "Have you go and get some of that fish?" And he says, it says that they pulled in 153 fish. Now, for me, I find that I've constantly at times looked at that scripture. How is it that they were so precise in the number of fish they caught? Any ideas? Any thoughts? It means something. Well, I started looking. I started digging, trying to find out what it might mean. And I read different thoughts and different ideas and different ways. And yes, there was truth in so many things that I read. Potential truth. But I wasn't satisfied. And I've been digging and digging and I've asked the Lord. And suddenly in this last few days, I began to see something that I'd never seen before. I need some help. I always need help. Who doesn't? I need 3 volunteers. I need a volunteer. I need 3. Hold that. Hold that. And hold that. Okay. What do you see? Is that what you see? 153. Yeah? That's the number of fish that they pulled in. What does it mean? The number one, hold it up. The number one. It's a prime number. Yet number one is also a symbolic of God. It's that number, that perfect number. God is perfect. You can't divide one, can you? There's only one God. There's only one Creator. And so we find here that number one is symbolic of God. We have one God. One Creator. One God who made all things. Out of Him came all things. So we have one God. Five. Number five. It is the number of God's grace. God's grace and mercy towards you and I. God's forgiveness, God's acceptance offers. That's what the number five is all about. God's grace towards all mankind. God's trying to say something. Jesus is trying to say something after his death and his resurrection. Three, the number three. What does that speak of? It speaks of divine perfection. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Divine perfection. So here we have God. We have God's grace. And we have the divine perfection of God. And God is saying to his disciples, look. Look. I am still aware of you. I have done a work to save you. I have done a work to forgive you. Only I could do it. And so in that perfectness of God, he says, I brought my grace through Jesus Christ into your life. That you might be forgiven. That you might know my mercy. That you might know the pleasure of being in a relationship with me. And he said, and three, the number three, through Jesus Christ, he has done a perfect work. On the third day, a day of perfection, he rose again. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, a divine perfection. So God said, God is the one God. He's bringing grace and mercy to us, and he's doing it by his divine perfection into our lives. And he was reminding the disciples, it is not finished yet. But I'm doing this, and I'm doing it for you. And it was a reminder that God was saying, look, look at the number of fish that I've given to you. It is not a coincidence. It is a divine plan. Is it a divine purpose? Some folk have said, well, do you know that there were 153 people that are recorded in the Bible that Jesus touched and healed, that Jesus ministered into their lives? That's another one. But I see in this that God himself provided that catch. He said, throw your net over the other side. In that obedience to him, one God, he brings in a great catch of fish through his grace, his mercy, brings the fish to the boat, to the net. The net did not break. Because the divine perfection of a living God was drawing all these fish into the net. And that divine perfection of God is drawing you and I closer to him. God today, through Jesus Christ, and through his grace and his mercy, we're able to enter into his presence. We're able to draw near to God. We're able to be drawn to God. Because it's by His grace and His mercy that we are drawn to God. The grace and the mercy is a little bit like the net. It's beginning to pull us, and draw us in to the presence of God. In the catch, in that number, Jesus reveals Himself. Jesus reveals Himself to His disciples yet again. And He, Jesus, feeds His disciples. And then He says, you go and bring some of your fish. What does that say? God says, I want us to work together. I want you to be one with Me, God says. I want you to be in the boat. I want you to be in relationship with Me. God's not saying, these are Mine. Jesus already prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God wants to partnership with each and every one of us. The Bible says He sets before us a banqueting table, and His banner over us is love. Hallelujah. He's a God that loves us. He's a God that cares for us. And He wants to reveal Himself to us. I find that so exciting that God is there constantly wanting to reveal Himself to you and to me. And we need to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. And as we wait in His presence, as we trust God, He will begin to speak to us as we wait in the presence of God. It's so important. In Luke chapter 24, it says this. Chapter 24 and verse 48. You are My witnesses. And He says, verse 49, behold, I am sending forth the promise of the Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came about while He was blessing them, He parted from them, and they returned with great joy and were constantly in the temple praising God. Jesus has said to them, wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues. It is about power in our lives. Power to see us, to see the sick healed. Power to raise the dead. Power to see lives changed by the Word of God. To give you courage. To give you the confidence that you can trust God. No matter where you are. No matter who you are. If you're in relationship with Him, you can trust God. Because He's a one God. Who's full of grace and mercy. And He's perfect in all His ways. And Jesus said, I have come to reveal the Father to you. Wow. It's not just about revealing Jesus. Having Jesus, once Jesus reveals Himself to us, it is about the fact that then Jesus wants to reveal the Father to us. You see, it gets even more exciting. It gets even more powerful. It goes into a bigger dimension. Jesus wants you to see His Father God. The Creator of all things. The one who loves you beyond everything. The one who has planned out your life, has planned out my life. The one who is seeking to draw you closer to himself, to empower you, and to give you great peace, and to know the peace of God in your life. And as you know the peace of God in your life, you'll see God moving in power. As you trust him day by day, you'll see him moving in power in your life. And so God wants you to know the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know the blessing that there is through accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So remember, he loves you. He died for you. He wants to reveal himself more and more unto you. Amen. Do you believe that? Let's just stand a moment.